And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear venerable religious and dear parishioners, we're actually getting ready for the pre-Lenten season, which begins next Sunday. This Sunday and last Sunday, we were looking at the public ministry of our Lord. And today we have two men with great faith asking our Lord something. And they are inspirations for us to have faith as well. There's a leper who beseeches Jesus to cure him from his horrible condition. And remember how bad it was back then to be a leper. You were cast out of society, even your own family, and could not have any contact with them until you died, because leprosy was considered to be highly contagious. And so it's basically a living death for those that had it back in that time. And Jesus hears his prayer, Lord, if thou wilt, make me clean. And Jesus says, I will. Be thou made clean. And the leper is cleansed. Jesus told him to fulfill the law by going to the priest. It was part of the Mosaic law that any cures or seeming cures had to be verified by the priest. And of course, the priest would have found a miraculous restoration of his full health. And then we have the Roman centurion, a pagan, a Gentile, who says, my servant is lying sick at home, paralyzed, and is grievously afflicted. And Jesus says, all right, I'll come and cure him. And he says, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Say the word now, and my servant shall be healed. You see that great faith? Lord, I know you can do it, even at a distance. So what an inspiration of faith these two men are for us today in this all-important virtue of faith. And then the centurion gives an argument to our Lord, saying, Lord, if I can command soldiers and they do it, you too, just say it and it will be done. And Jesus marveled. Now, how are we to understand that phrase, Jesus marveled? Isn't he God? Doesn't he know all things? Why would he be marveling? But we have to remember, Jesus is both divine and human, and in his human nature, he can marvel. He can appreciate, even emotionally, that this man's faith is so expressive, so powerful, so strong. And our Lord says, I have not found such great faith in Israel. Now, there were individuals, obviously, who had faith, but our Lord is speaking in a broad, general way. I have come to look for this kind of faith, and I haven't found it. And here, I'm seeing it in a pagan soldier. I have no doubts that this centurion later on became a Christian. Maybe he was even a martyr for the faith. Because again, even in his pre-baptismal status, if indeed it was that, he says, Lord, I know you can do this. And Jesus answers his prayer. He marvels at him. And so great is this prayer of a Roman centurion that the church has put it into the Mass. Before the priest receives Holy Communion, Domine non sum dignus ut intra subtectum meum. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, meaning come into my soul. And when the priest turns around, and after he says, behold the Lamb of God, ecce Agnus Dei, qui tollit peccato mundi, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he also says to you those same words of the Roman centurion. Why? Because they're so inspiring. They're such a great prayer of faith. They're also such a great prayer of humility. Remember how important humility is? Pride pushes God away. Humility draws him to us. And to say, I'm not worthy that you come into my soul in Holy Communion. So it's faith and humility and desire that are being expressed. So faith, how important it is. You can never have too much faith. We always need to grow in more and more faith. Think of today's saint, Saint Agnes, who at the age of 12 years was willing to undergo all torments and death gladly because her faith was so strong in Jesus Christ. She was willing to suffer and die for him. She was living for him. She also consecrated herself through a vow of virginity to Jesus. Again, that takes faith. Is your faith as great as that? So you can see how much your faith needs to grow. It can grow. And how do we make our faith grow? Very simply, those three things from the Catechism. Pray for a greater faith, make acts of faith, and study your faith. When you pray for a greater faith, you're asking for this greater gift, this greater infusion from God of believing. And again, faith absolutely changes our life. With more and more faith, we appreciate more the teachings of Christ. We commit ourselves more to him. We love him more. We love his church. We love the teachings that the Catholic Church gives us. We love the Mass more and more. I think it was St. John Marie Vianney, speaking of the Mass, who says if a priest could understand what happens at the Mass, when he changes bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, if he fully understood that, he would die of awe. So you see, there's plenty of room for us to grow in faith, and we're going to have a very strong faith to persevere in these times. Our Lord said, this is in the Gospel of St. Luke, he says, think you when the Son of Man comes again, will he find faith on the earth? That is a very telling, very profound statement. In other words, our Lord was clearly implying that most would have lost real faith. And we're living in a time where there is that kind of loss of faith. When we see how many have succumbed to modernism, believe in change of doctrine, evolution of doctrine. That's a loss of faith. Let's remember that faith is not just a feeling. Pope St. Pius X addressed this in his famous encyclical in 1907 on modernism. He says, modernists equate faith with feeling, and that is a most grave error. In other words, we have to conform ourselves to objective truth, the truths that God has revealed to us that don't depend on our feeling. We hear the truths taught and we say, I believe. Whether my feelings are fully agree or not, or what, regardless of what their reaction is, I believe. So when we see that word faith being used in the modern context, so often it's about how do you feel about it. Well, that gives rise to all kinds of religions. We need faith as an objective act. I believe in what God has revealed. And this is why in the Church Unity Octave, we are praying for the conversion of non-Catholics to the faith. It isn't pride on our part. It's reality. Christ did not found many churches. He didn't come to earth to say, you can belong to whatever you feel like belonging to. No, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he said, which means he founded only one church. And that's obviously the church in which alone we can find salvation. So that's the challenge of faith, to believe, truly believe. It's transcendent over feeling. As Pope St. Pius X said in his encyclical, if we followed feeling as, or made that the criterion of faith, again, we would have every kind of religion because people all feel differently. So no wonder we don't call it our Catholic feeling. We call it our Catholic faith. And it points to that one virtue of which, again, we always need more growth. So many exhortations to faith in the New Testament. I think of the man whose son was possessed by a demon, and he's crying out to Jesus, cure my son, cast out that demon. And Jesus says, all things are possible to those who believe. And the man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So such beautiful considerations on faith today, not only because of this gospel, but because of this Church Unity Octave. One last point to make, and when we pray to God, does that mean we will always get what we want? I mean, the leper got his prayer answered today, as we read in the gospel. The centurion got his prayer answered. We must remember, my dear brethren, that often enough we pray for things that because of our limited knowledge may not really prove all that good for us. And so God says no. Or he tests our faith by having us persevere in a long time in praying for those intentions. And the saints all seem to tell us that if God says no, he will give us something even better than what we want. So let us not be discouraged because God didn't hear our prayer. I know that's easier said than done. We all struggle with that more or less. But again, with greater faith, we know that our faith, that our prayer is powerful, it is efficacious, and we must always persevere in it. That's how we grow in faith. And if God were to say no, he will say yes in another way. So, and persevere in prayer. Yes, they asked seemingly just once and it was granted. But many of the most precious graces and answers and benefits come after long perseverance in prayer. So be encouraged, my dear brethren. Always in your prayer, keep persevering in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.